Okay, hi. My name is Thomas. I'm an engineer at ARM. I'm also a contributor to Project Verizon. This presentation is about Verizon and wants you to give you an idea of what the project is about and how it fits in the wider attestation slash confidential computing picture. With the hope that, after listening to this, you'll be motivated to at least have a look at the project and maybe become an early adopter or even a contributor in the future. Who knows? So without further ado, let me go through what I've put together here, starting with a bunch of trivia about the project. So we have a logo, and the colorful ovals there are supposed to represent grapes. In fact, Verizon is a term used in winemaking and is the moment when grapes start ripening, at which point they can be of different colors. And in fact, the word means change of color. And this is a sort of visual metaphor of the blurry nature of trust, which can be yes, can be no, green grape, red grape, or really anything in between. Now, there's some debate around the way the word is pronounced. The French say Verizon or Verizon. The English say Verizon or Verizon. So you have a choice. You have multiple choices, in fact, but please do not spell it like the American telco company, because that would be really confusing. And it's also a backronym for verification of attestation. The project started within ARM, in the architecture and technology group to which I belong, together with my colleagues that are on the team as well. It's been adopted by the Confidential Computing Consortium in June 2022. It's currently in incubation stage, meaning it's in the early phases of adoption, and we're looking at growing it across a few different metrics, the most obvious being code and documentation maturity, but also we are also trying to grow the community a bit, and being here is part of that effort. But yeah, the headline here is that we've moved from being an ARM project to be under the Linux Foundation umbrella. Therefore, we are completely open governance and, of course, open source. Before we dive into the core of the presentation, though, let me give you a bunch of pointers, possibly useful. The code base, GitHub, the chat, the Zulip chat, the mailing list hosted by the Confidential Computing Consortium, and these confusing URL, which is one for our regular weekly calls, which I'm not expecting you to memorize. In fact, you could just follow the first link in the list, the GitHub org, and the splash page should have all of these other links. But generally feel free to join any of these channels, pop up at our calls, ask questions, whatever. You will be always very much welcome. So now we do a quick recap on remote attestation, starting with the problem. So you suppose you have these two guys, a test for an underlying party that needs to engage in some sort of distributed computation. Suppose also that initially they don't trust each other, they're mutually distrusting, and then you can't make progress in the computation until a trust relationship can be established between the two. And instances of this kind of situation abound. For example, in confidential computing, the tester is typically the guy that executes the workload, the confidential workload, and the line party needs to know that this guy is trusted before it shares some input with it. Say, for example, you need to ship an ML model or some privacy sensitive data, or both. And there's obviously the dual problem, right? Where the relying party is the consumer of the output of the computation. Say you are an actuator of some sort that acts upon signals that are coming from the attester, and you want to trust the attester before making a mess, right? Say stuff in critical infrastructure, especially. So to break this impasse, the natural thing to do is for one party to convince the other that they can be trusted. And here's where attestation comes in the frame. So attestation, what is attestation? It's a technique that uses a specialized component which is rooted in hardware, called the root of trust, that the attester can use to do basically two things. The sampling the current state of its TCB, of its trusted computing base, and put together a report, and B, sign this report with secret identity keys that are securely stashed inside the root of trust in hardware. All of that in a trustworthy way. Now, that is in such a way that no one, even co-located software or firmware, can subvert these sequence of actions. And this signed report is called attestation evidence, or simply evidence. And the evidence, which is, you know, basically a very, very strong authentication signal, can be sent to the RP, which, you know, once it receives it, needs to verify by checking that the signature of the report is correct, and that the identity of the signer is known and trusted, and also to check that the reported TCB state is acceptable / good, right, for some local policy-defined interpretation of what good means. And the process of verification of evidence is the process that, you know, covers at least these two checks that we just discussed. And in the remote attestation architecture, which is RFC 9334, freshly published, this process of verification of evidence is taken care of by the verifier role, which basically mediates between attesters and relying parties. Note that the lines in this picture are not real channels between real devices. They are logical channels between architectural roles, so they can be recompose and put together in a very different way depending on the protocol. But logically, these are the relationships between the various architectural roles. And in order to do to its function, the verifier needs to know a few things, a few very important things. First, how to verify the identity of the attester. And typically, that is done by knowing a public key associated with the secret signing key of the attester, and knowing that in a, you know, reliable way, and B, what is the expected state of the attester's TCB, of course, and this can become pretty messy depending on how complex the attester is. On one end of the spectrum, you have very simple attesters that can be described with a single measurement. Does not change or changes glacially. And on the other hand, there are, you know, composite attesters that are made of more than one attester, each attester sporting its own TCB, each TCB made of multiple separate independently moving parts, you know, software components, configuration, and whatnot, with multiple different supply chain actors involved. You know, thing can become really hairy. If the complexity is very low, it makes sense to co-locate a simple verifier with the relying party. But if that's not the case, you know, it might be a reasonable choice to design a system where the verification function is effectively offloaded to a separate architectural component. These options are not, you know, aggregation, disaggregation, they are not mutually exclusive. Take, for example, the case where the tester is composite and its evidence can be clearly split along a platform / workload axis. So in that case, one might want to call an external platform verifier, and if everything is okay, then move to a local verifier for the verification of the workload. You know, there are, as I said, the things are logical, they can be reassembled and put together in very, very different way. But in general, whatever the system architecture you come up with, the verifier role needs a bunch of trusted links to the supply chain that is involved in the verification, because the supply chain endorses the attester, right? And so it's critical that the link between the supply chain and the verifier is a trusted one, and that endorsements are genuine. And these are the green boxes in this picture. Verifier could also have an owner, typically have an owner, that can provide verification policies for evidence to it. save for, you know, to customize the process of appraisal, or, you know, in special situations to maybe provide out batching. And to complete the RATS architectural picture is the RP owner, Reliant RP owner, that can feed the policy for how to act on the attestation results coming from the verifier, right? To instruct the Reliant party to make decisions based on the appraisal done by the verifier regarding the attester. So this finishes the RATS recap. And the question now is where is Verizon in this picture? And as you may have guessed, is the blue box at the center. But it's not just that. It's also all the lines that are attached to the blue box. That is all the verifier interfaces, which are quite a few. We'll start from the bottom left and then move clockwise. So evidence, we've built a bunch of libraries for manipulating various evidence formats, both from point of view of the verifier, so the coding and verification, but also from the attester point of view, which means encoding and signing. This way, if one needs to put together an end-to-end flow, say for integration testing or for a demo, it's quite easy to build this, you know, attester emulator. You don't need to deal with the real hardware, which can be tricky, especially if you're dealing with CI environments. The current list of supported evidence includes two EAT profiles, PSA for Cortex-M, so IoT Gizmo, and NCCA for the new ARM V9 confidential computing architecture. We also have a TPM profile, and this came from an integration project we did with our friends at Enact Trust, who have a product for monitoring device health that can use Verizon as a backend. We have a bare bones implementation of DICE. Say TCG, but even open is okay, I think. And then we have AWS Nitro, contributed by our friends at Veracruz. Veracruz is another CCC project that's so a confidential computing project that uses Verizon as the backend for their proxy CA, and you know more. On the endorsement ref value front, we have implementation for Corim, which is a format we co-designed with Intel and Fraunhofer in the DICE working group in TCG, and has now been adopted in the ATF RATS working group as a, you know, on the standards track. It's basically a specialized format for describing the how the attester looks like to the verifier, which aggregates different subformats for specifying a bunch of, you know, orthogonal but coexisting dimensions of the platform, so software, firmware, trust anchors, other things. For policy, we have integrated OPA, Open Policy Agent, which is an existing successful general purpose policy engine. So we found something that existed that was fit for purpose, so we didn't feel the need to reinvent this specific bit. And for attestation results, there's an info model that's being standardized in the ATF called R4C, which allows to normalize the appraisal output so that the Reliant party policies can be simplified greatly, because now they're fully decoupled from the specifics of the attester. But because our force is just an info model, we had to create a serialization for it, which we based on it. We call EAR. EAR is a good candidate for standardization, because there's nothing at this point in time, and so we're trying to push this through the RAS working group in EAF as well, and it's the only output form we support for now. As far as decision result policies, we do nothing, because this is completely out of scope. This is entirely on the underlying party. I wanted to give you the mapping of what we just discussed with the with what exists in the Verizon code base, and note that nearly the entirety of what follows is Golang packages, and also command line tools and services slash daemons in good old Unix patterns. And this was a conscious choice. We choose to go with Golang because, you know, one of the main goals of the project is to provide a bunch of component tree to assemble system that provide verification as a service, right? So, and Golang is a very good language in terms of library support, native library support, ecosystem, and also the in terms of easiness, the learning curve is very non-steep, I would say. So it's trivial to learn, and therefore, you know, we hope that more people can be more contributors could be could come by lowering the barrier here. So let's start with a couple of layer zero packages, EAT and Gokuzi. EAT is the anti-attestation token. It's the main format for attestation messages, either evidence or attestation results that has been put forward by the ATF. It's basically a framework that extends COT and JOT by adding a number of claims with attestation-specific semantics, and also a way to instantiate the framework through so-called profiles, and PSA and CCA being just, you know, two such examples. The EAT package is, the reason EAT package is not tracking the most recent version of the draft. We decided to wait for the draft to become RFC before doing a final alignment pass, because it has all the claims that we need, you know, for the dependent packages, and so for the moment is good as is. But we will need to make it up to date, as soon as the document goes through the standardization process, final stages of the standardization process. And it builds on COT, which in turn uses COSI sign and sign one. So early on, we realized that we needed a COSI implementation in Go. And the only thing we could find at the point in time was Go COSI, which was originally developed by Mozilla for their autograph service. But it supported only COSI sign. So we forked it and extended to support sign one. But then Mozilla discontinued it at the point in time when we wanted to contribute it back to the mainline. They discontinued the project, so we took responsibility of it alongside Microsoft, and together with Microsoft, we did a fair amount of work, including improving the ergonomics of the interfaces, you know, and also making implementation generally more robust. And to that respect, we went through a couple of external security reviews and addressed older comments. So we're fairly confident in that this package has, you know, production quality, and we shipped 1.0.0 just a couple of weeks ago. And this is the first ever release beta version, so we're particularly excited by that. It's an interesting package among the lot, also because it's used not just by Verizon, but also by other quite big projects, Notary in CNCF and Sigstor, OpenSSF. So it's come out as a nice, useful building block that has relevance in the community. Now moving on to the evidence. You know, these are the evidence bees, the red, the orange things. We have the 2.8 profiles for CCA and PSA, the DICE thingy, and the sort of house-like shape is the command line interface called AVCLI, which is an attester emulator that also talks the Verizon verification API client side, and so can be used to play with the services quite easily on the command line. The yellow things are the attestation results packages. So here, it's just only one package. Basically, it's Verizon here, and there's an associated CLI arc that can be used to verify and pretty print results. So one can pipe EVCLI output into arc to see what happened during appraisal. And the green thing is the bunch of endorsement RevFile related packages. including the top level manifest format, core in quorum, and the dependent bits for firmware verification keys and software and so on. So quorum commit, quorum quotes, and suite respectively. And also Cochlea, which is a command line interface for assembling quorums from a bunch of JSON templates. You sign them and then you can submit them to the Verizon services using the provisioning API, which is linked into Cochlea. And finally, the blue box, including microservices, which I will talk about in the next slide, and the client-side interface of the Verizon API, which exists also in Rust with C bindings. And I think a pure C implementation has been contributed as well. I don't know where if it's been merged fully or is still an open PR, but anyway. So yeah, well, let's have a quick look at the services architecture. Basically, there are two pipelines, one for verification, the bottom one, and one for provisioning, the top one, that converge onto the core service, Vitis, which connects to the data and the plugin stores. It's called Vitis. Vitis is another winemaking pun. And it's basically Verizon's services trusted computing base. It has all the security-related computation in it. The interesting thing is that the processing in both pipelines is in stages and with very precise hook points where plugin code can be supplied by the user in order to customize certain aspects of the processing. So basically, what you do is as a user that wants to add their own format, either of evidence or for endorsements and ref values, you build your plugin code so that you basically you adapt your formats to the standardized processing pipeline. Right. So next steps. We have a few exciting new things in the pipeline, adding new formats, of course, opportunistically though, depending on contributions, integrations, etc. We want to improve documentation, not a very exciting bit, but a necessary step in making the project useful and usable. And this is a big one. We want to work on the identity and access management to support the more generic multi-tenant service. This is the single missing bit that prevents Verizon from being used in a production context at this point in time. And finally, we want to allow a static plugin-less build in order to reduce the potential attack surface on the services. This is what the next months will bring us. So questions? Thank you very much, by the way, for listening.